Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Apostle Paul, fully restoring and fully reconciling those whom he had previously rebuked for their many failures and sins in his first epistle to the Corinthian church. And though we may see only his tender emotions being expressed here, under all is his strong desire for the church in Corinth, even all the believers in the entire body of Christ, to be brought up to the standard that he revealed in another of his epistles, Ephesians. Ephesians 4:16. All the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply and through the operation and the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. To see this link between 2 Corinthians 7 and God's eternal purpose in Ephesians is a rare glimpse into the depths of the riches in God's Word. And to help us see this link today, Benson Phillips has joined us. Benson has been with Living Stream for many years, worked very closely with Witness Lee for a number of those years. And Benson, we're very, very happy to have you here on Life Study.
Chris, I am very glad to be here.
I think already our listeners will have detected that you probably didn't grow up in New England or... Benson, just give us a little bit of background about you so that the listeners have a little idea of who we're talking to today.
Well, I was born in Texas, as all your listeners can guess. But anyhow, I received Christ when I was about 11 years of age and have been following the Lord for many years.
When did you first come in contact with Living Stream in terms of a ministry that you were involved with in your serving?
My first time was in 1964. I had entered the seminary, and then Brother Lee came to Dallas, where I was living at that time. And I had the opportunity to hear him, and I realized on my first contact with him and listening to his word spoken, which had dispensed Christ into me and was a very strong speaking, I knew this was a man of God and that this was the person I wanted to receive my basic help from. Wow. That was my initial introduction to him.
Well, we have a lot of listeners that have been receiving this kind of help now for a number of years, Benson, so you should be right at home with our listening audience.
Amen.
Well, let's come to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, really the portion that we're focused on today in this life study. And I think it's important to read a few of these verses to give the listeners a little taste and background for what Paul is consumed with. It becomes evident very quickly here. Mm-hmm. It is an emotional chapter, as we said a moment ago. Make room for us, he writes in verse 2. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. Of course, these were all charges that had been levied against Paul by the Corinthian believers. Mm-hmm. I do not say this to condemn you, for I've said before that you are in our hearts for our dying together and our living together. Great is my boldness toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'm filled with comfort. I overflow with joy in all our affliction. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted in everything. Without were fightings, within were fears. But he who comforts those who are downcast, that is God, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted because of you, declaring to us your longing, your lamentation, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced the more. Benson, he makes reference here to something that came up earlier in this book, and that is this coming of Titus. In chapter 2, I think verse 13, we first saw it. This is where Paul was headed into Troas, a city he was burdened to go and bring the gospel to. And in verse 12 in chapter 2, he said, furthermore, when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ and a door was opened to me in the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, for I did not find Titus my brother. But taking leave of them, I went forth into Macedonia. So here Paul turns his back, in a sense, on an open door, a door that the Lord had opened for him to bring the gospel to this place, all because he didn't find this brother Titus. Now he comes back to this point in chapter 7. I think this may not be familiar to a lot of our listeners. What is the context here of this reference to Titus?
Well, going back to Paul's beginning with the church in Corinth in Acts 18, of course, we have the record in the Word of God concerning Paul's visit and the gaining of so many unbelievers to become believers in Christ. And out of that, the church in Corinth was raised up. Then Paul, in time, left the church, and while he was away, many problems developed in the church. Anyhow, Paul addressed one by one the many problems in his first book to the Corinthians. And out of that, some were quite upset by his speaking and even accused him in an improper way. And the reports concerning these matters came back to Paul, and Paul realized that the result of his letter may not have been as he had hoped it would be. He had hoped that there would be a full repentance and entering into the Lord's way and the practice of the church life there. But obviously, something had come in, and the Corinthians were no longer happy with him, at least some in the church.
Mm-hmm.
This caused Paul, as he considered the situation in Corinth, to be downcast, because all of these were his children, and he wanted to see them growing in the Lord and seeing that the church would be built up in that locality. So, to find out the real situation, he sent his young co-worker Titus to visit them. Titus went, talked with them, fellowshiped with them, and then came back with a report to Brother Paul. And when Titus came back, Titus was overjoyed that the Corinthians had repented and that the church again was in order. And then he gave this report to Paul. And this report that Paul received caused Paul to be overjoyed. He was so delighted that the church had received his word, the church had repented, and now the church was again following the Lord as closely as possible.
That's a very good summary, and I think an excellent backdrop for today's program and our message that we're going to hear from Witness Lee. Why don't we go to his first portion, and then we'll get a chance to talk about some of these things in more depth. Thanks, Benson. And here's Witness Lee.
Every believer who loves the Lord, who wants to come up to the standard, must realize that you have to be a minister of the new covenant. Each one believer in the New Testament has to be a minister, regardless whether you are an apostle, you are an evangelist, as long as you are a believer in the New Testament, you must be a minister. Paul doesn't charge us to be a preacher of the gospel. We all need to be charged to be a minister of the new covenant. That is, to minister Christ as life, that the church might be produced and built up as the body of Christ. This is based upon Ephesians chapter 4. There we are told that the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, teachers, and shepherds, they are all building up the church by ministering Christ to others. Not only they, Ephesians 4 told us that every member, every part of the body should be the same. Every part of the member should be a church builder, should be a minister of Christ for the building up of the church. So, you and I, we all need a ministering life. You should be a minister, and you should have a ministering life. You should live a life to minister Christ to others for the church.
Benson, I think what we just are hearing now elevates our consideration of this matter to even a much higher level than we were talking about a moment ago. On the one hand, Paul is concerned and consumed with his care maybe anxiety for how these ones were going to respond to his word. But really, his desire is far deeper than just wanting their approval or wanting them to like him. Mm-hmm. This really touches what's in Paul's heart, doesn't it?
Yes. And as we have seen on the previous programs, Paul presented to us the ministry of the new covenant in a very clear way. Then coming to chapter 3, verse 12, Paul begins to talk not only about the ministry, but the ministers of the new covenant. And all of the members of Christ, everyone who has been born again, should become a minister of the new covenant. Paul's desire, mainly for the Corinthians and for all the churches that he had raised up, was that every member would be a functioning member in each church, and everyone would be one who ministers Christ. Of course, we have those in the church who may preach the gospel. Hopefully that would also be everyone. But some may be more gifted in this way. You may even have the ones that were mentioned by Brother Paul in Ephesians 4. These are called gifts that were given by the Lord to perfect all the saints.
Right.
And this perfecting work is to make them genuine ministers of the new covenant. And eventually, we see in verse 16 that those who have been perfected in verses 11 and 12, perfected to the work of the ministry and the building up of the body of Christ, join with these gifts, who Paul refers to in verse 17 as the joints. The joints have the rich supply to the body, but joined with the joints, there are the other members, which Paul considers the parts. And each part has a measure. And in God's economy, his intention is that not only the gifted ones, but all those who he has referred to as parts would become functioning members who minister Christ to the body and even to the unbelievers.
Boy, this is a higher view that needs to be continually brought to our attention so that we would keep our focus as the Apostle Paul's focus was, and as we see it day by day in this ministry, Benson, on this very, very fact that the Lord desires all of the members to become useful, functioning, fruitful members. In this coming portion, Witness Lee brings in from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." So this matter of fruit bearing and what are the key components of being a fruitful member in the body of Christ is the focus of the last two segments of our program. So let's go back to Witness Lee.
We all must endeavor by not our own effort, but by His grace, to live a ministering life. The ministering life here in this book is just a fruitful life. Fruitful life. You may be very holy, yet you are not fruitful. You may be very spiritual. You may be very victorious, yet you are not fruitful. Your spirituality, your holiness, your victory all have some problems. It may not be so true. It may not be so genuine. You are spiritual, yet not fruitful. But the Bible tells us to be spiritual is for being fruitful. You know, in the entire Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus doesn't tell us you have to be spiritual, you have to be holy, you have to be victorious. No, but surely in chapter 15, he charges us to bear the fruit and bear much fruit and bear the abiding fruit. You might be very knowledgeable of the spiritual things, and you might be quite powerful in speaking, yet why you are not fruitful? All the years, you kill more people than you minister life to people. What is the reason? The reason is that you don't have an intimate concern. You don't have a real concern. You only have a concern for speaking. How you are going to give better messages? Suppose I come to visit you in your home without any loving concern. I just come to display my knowledge, to make a show how holy I am, how spiritual I am, how gifted I am, how knowledgeable I am, and how capable I am. You know, what would be the result? Killing. They're saying, how much fruit will you bear? It does not depend that much how much you can do. It rather depends all the time upon your intimate concern.
Benson, if anyone had the ground to have some confidence or trust in their capability and their constitution and spiritual matters and their being spiritual and holy, surely it would be the Apostle Paul. But here we see the emphasis is not on those things at all, as he is laboring to be fruitful and to produce others that are fruitful. His focus is on something quite different, isn't it?
Yes, Chris. To read chapter 7, which is really an autobiography of Paul, when he is opening his whole being to expose to us what kind of person he really was. We all know that he was a person who was knowledgeable in spiritual matters, and his work had produced so much. Yet, the underlying emphasis of this chapter is not on a great work or doing many wonderful things. Rather, the emphasis is on a brother who has learned to live Christ and to minister Christ in the way of having an intimate concern for his co-workers, for the church, for others. It's very possible, Chris, to become knowledgeable in spiritual matters and powerful in preaching, and yet still be unfruitful. In fact, instead of being fruitful and ministering life, such a person may even cause others to suffer death.
Yeah.
I don't want to be this kind of person, and I believe all of our radio listeners prefer not to be such a person. But not to be such a person, we need to be like a mother who may not have that much wisdom, yet because of her loving concern and her care for her children, eventually all the children grow up to be wonderful members in her family. This is accomplished through her loving concern, or we could say her intimate concern, or genuine concern for her children.
This is the pattern that Paul is putting forth, isn't it, in this mm-hmm. in this portion, as you brought out. And I think we've all had the experience, or maybe many of us have had the experience, both of being the one that's killing and on other occasions being the one that's being killed by spirituality and spiritual knowledge that may not be that genuine.
I believe all of us have had such experience.
Benson, we're going to kind of stay on this same thought in this last portion. Our mouth is open to you, Paul says in chapter 6, verse 11. Our heart is enlarged. You're not constricted in us, but you're constricted in your inward parts. You also be enlarged. Make room for us, Paul writes to these ones he cared so deeply for. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Why? 2 Corinthians 7 is here. Paul talks about what? Talk about, when I didn't see Titus, I don't have any relief in my spirit. And you are sorrowful, and your sorrow is according to God, then what? You have the repentance, you have the earnestness, you have indignation, you have the this and that, all these many items in verse 11. Why is such a chapter like this in the Bible? You know what? After I got into it, I love this chapter. I have been quite much affected by this chapter. We may have the ability to do a work, but we don't have the concern. Once Brother Nee, watch my knee, he told us to preach the gospel, you must have a proper concern for the fallen persons. As long as you have such a concern, good enough. Not eloquence, not gift, not power can touch people so deeply as your concern. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, serves this purpose to us. My, the writer of the two books has such an intimate concern. So some may say this chapter is too emotional. And I say, amen, that's right. Because the concern is too deep. And the concern is too intimate. The concern is too high. And you could never be that abundantly rejoicing. Why? You are just as cold as the refrigerator. You don't have any concern. You go to visit the families. You go as a freezer. You go not to warm up people. You go to freeze people. We all know nothing could grow under a kind of freezing situation. What is a ministering life? That is a warming up life. Learn to warm up others. And to warm up others is just to have an intimate concern.
Benson, more than an instruction or a technique here on how to be fruitful, we're seeing something quite different. This is intimate, this is experiential, this is very subjective, but we all, I think, know what it's like to be apart and distant from the Lord, and yet one comes into our presence who has the ability to warm our heart and to usher us back to Christ. This is a real minister of the new covenant, isn't it?
And I believe, Chris, those of us that were with Brother Lee can testify that he was this kind of brother. He was a brother that had the intimate concern, even though being so knowledgeable, I don't say as Paul was, but being very knowledgeable and having accomplished so much, when you were with him, what you touched was the intimate concern. He was a person who had many life experiences of Christ. And based on all these experiences, he was able to minister this Christ into so many. And his ministry then became a rich supply of life, which is the New Testament ministry. Our brother was this kind of brother. And I hope all the radio listeners could realize that the ministry that we're presenting in these days is not a ministry that has come out of somebody's knowledge, but it is a ministry that ministered Christ into all the believers. And I have seen through his ministry many who were cold and dying be warmed up and be revived. And I would have to testify, even this was my situation. But contacting this ministry, a ministry who was there to minister life out of a loving concern and a genuine concern, I responded, and many have responded.
Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you very much for listening.